I want to talk to you today about sawdust and logs. Sawdust and logs. Now, it took me a long time to come up with that title, but I thought it was pretty cute. Sawdust and logs, because there's a scripture that we're going to read in just a minute that talks about something like, one translation talks about it. So turn in your Bibles with me, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 7. And if this is your very first Sunday today, we welcome you. We thank you for being here today. May the Lord richly bless you. And if you're looking for a home church and the Lord leads you here, we're certainly happy to have you come and be a part of Solid Rock. If the Lord leads you somewhere else, that's quite understandable, because how many of those churches have personalities, and not everybody's going to fit into this mold. But we're certainly glad that we do have visitors that come by and check us out once in a while. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, and I'm reading from the NIV right now. The scripture says, do not what?
Judge.
That's kind of weak. Do not
judge.
For those of you that are watching online at home, we do have people here today, and they did say judge, and that's what we're talking about today. Do not judge. By the way, I want to thank all of our online listeners. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. You may not watch it live today. You may watch it sometime during the week, but thank you for watching. We had to watch it. We watched the live service last week at 10 o'clock at night, I believe it was, when we watched the live service, because there was 10 hours difference. I guess it was probably a couple hours before that. But anyway, we thank you for watching, and I want to thank you online for giving. There's people, there are online givers that aren't here at this church, but they still support this ministry, and we thank you for your faithful support. Amen. Okay, let's get back to this. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Pretty plain, isn't it? We don't need an interpreter, right? We know it's pretty plain. Do not judge, or you will be judged. If you remember in Luke chapter 6, there's a scripture that talks about, you know, the same measure that you give with is going to come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's interesting that in that same passage of scripture, it's talking about don't judge. It's talking about forgiving one another. It's talking about giving, forgiving, and not judging one another, because the same measure you deal it out with is the same measure it's going to come back. How many of us, if you judge somebody every day, guess how it's coming back to you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together every day, right? So we want to talk about this. Now, judging is one of those topics that it can really generate a lot of heated discussion, and we can talk about it. But there's a lot of Bible-believing Christians that may not agree with what we're saying this morning, and you don't have to agree with what I'm saying. I'm going to teach you from the Word of God, and you choose if it's wood, hay, or stubble, okay? But we want to talk about what Jesus said. And Jesus said, it's the red letter, says, do not judge. Now, the question is, what is judging? The question that we're going to talk about this morning and try to find the answer to is, what is judging? Now, I'll be the first to admit that this Sermon on the Mount, this whole 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew sometimes is a little hard to understand, and I do have a limited knowledge about it, so don't judge me when I, how that work in, yeah, don't judge me if I don't get it just right, but I don't know everything there is to know about the Word of God. I have glimpses, and I get little revelations, but we just need to, let's do the best that we can. Everybody say, I am capable of hearing and learning today. Okay, so this looks like a direct command when he says, judge not, do not judge, or you will be judged. Now, before we get into the meat of this, let me clarify something. We do not condone sin. We don't condone wrongdoing. We're not excusing wickedness. We're not excusing evil. But what we're doing is we're talking about, we are not going to judge somebody's character. We're not assassins. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And so if we're going to judge somebody, why not judge them with mercy? That was a good statement, wasn't it? If you're going to judge somebody, why don't you judge them with love? Why don't you judge them, you know, with grace? Man, we need to judge people with grace. You know why? Because you've done the same thing, you rotten, dirty scoundrels. Now, don't get mad at me for saying that. I was just in the flesh. We need to judge with mercy and grace and with love instead of with the harshness of our tongue that assassinates people. Amen? So I think the statement is pretty clear. I don't think it needs any Greek translation. I don't think it needs any type of explanation. It just says, do not judge. Can you say that with me? Do not judge. Now, how many believes, like, don't raise your hand, but how many believes you might need a little work on that? Don't raise your hand. Might need a little working on that one. Well, that's because we're human and we're not perfect, and sometimes we get in the flesh. Amen? So what does it mean? Okay, here's to pass judgment. To judge means to pass judgment on somebody or to condemn in a legal sense. That's really important because the Greek word there is krino, and we need to understand to judge in a legal sense. Now listen, we're all going to face judgment someday. But not from our brothers and our sisters. Not from our church family. Can I hear an amen? We're not to judge one another. But the judgment that's coming our way is judgment coming from God. And every one of us someday will stand before God. And we're going to give an account for everything we did in this earth. How did you serve the Lord? What did you do with your gifts and your talents? Were you faithful to God? Did you read His Word? Sister Sue, that was powerful. Every day, reading over 100 scriptures on healing. My wife did the same thing. Every day. And those scriptures was coming out of her mouth. And so when we decide that we are going to judge and take on that role of judging, we've just taken on the responsibility that God has. Amen? I want to tell you something. I'm totally unqualified to execute judgment on anybody. Amen? Look at Romans 14:4. Romans 14:4, NIV, or any other translation you may have. Now, this is going to be beans and taters this morning. This is not sugar and cotton candy, okay? Are you ready? 14:4. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. Now that's the NIV. Can I give you the Rhodes translation? Are you all mature enough to take the Rhodes translation? Who do you think you are, you stinking hypocrite, to judge somebody else's servant? Well, that went over good, didn't it? Who are you to judge somebody else? Amen? We're going to get into this, so be patient with me. The Living Bible says, they are God's servants, not yours. They are responsible to Him, not to you. Let Him tell them whether they are right or wrong. As a pastor, I present the gospel, right? I present the gospel as I feel like the Lord gives it to me. And not everybody accepts it the way I dish it out. And that's okay, because it's not my responsibility to make you eat it or drink it. I just serve it, right? When you go to a restaurant, how many knows it's not the cook, the chef, the waitresses that make you eat the food? They serve the food, and it's up to you to push the plate away. It's up to you to eat it all. It's up to you to leave the tip. Big tips expected today, folks. No. But you are the one, not me, that determines whether you're going to eat what we dish out. So far, so good? Remember the book of Psalms, chapter 100, verse 3. We are the sheep of His pasture. Amen? We're sheep of His pasture. And sometimes pastors get real possessive with their people. And they get into what we call controlling. And I can name a pastor, you know the same one I'm talking about, Josh Durkee, that used to be very controlling. He's not with us anymore. He's went to be in heaven. But he was a very controlling pastor. He controlled his congregation, and they were afraid of him. They didn't want to do anything out of fear of him, not out of fear of God. And listen, I almost have to have the attitude, I don't care what you do. My job is to preach the word of God to you. Now, I would prefer that maybe we don't do some of the things we do, but that's my preference, all right? If God didn't convict you, it's not my place to convict you. Is this okay today? There's so many little things I want to say right now, but I have to control myself, because we can really take God's place and become the judge. Now, guess what? Thank God you are His sheep and not my sheep. Amen? You're His sheep. You know what that means? I am the shepherd of a local flock. What does a shepherd do? He feeds. He guides. He takes them to water. He takes them to food. He presents to them. But you're not my sheep. That's good news. That's good news for me and you, because I can't handle this many sheep. How many know sheep stink? Okay. How many know sheep bite? Okay. Now, I love being a pastor. I love taking care of people, and I like helping people, but I do not want to control anybody, and I will not control people. If you want to go out and do this, and we want to go out and do that, go do it. Have fun. If you have a car wreck, we'll be at the hospital and pray for you. Amen. So all I'm saying is you are God's servant. You are responsible to Him and not to you. Okay. In the same way you judge... In the way we judge others, I think the only way we can judge others is to show mercy. I think you better say that with me. The only way that I can judge others is to show mercy. Now, I know this is not one of my typical Pentecostal jump all around the platform and get down on the floor and spit on the front row. This is not that type of sermon. But listen, this is meat and potatoes today. This is not tater chips. This is meat and potatoes, and I want to make sure that this sinks in. And so for me to judge you puts me on a level higher than you. And I'm not any higher than you, and you're not any higher than anybody else. We're on the same level. We're all fallible. Amen? You're not answerable to me. Now, if you're on staff here at the church, we have certain qualifications and we have certain guidelines. And if you want to be on staff, you got to follow those guidelines. But if you don't want to be on staff, you don't have to follow the guidelines. Go do your own thing. Is this okay, Darlene? You tell me. You tell me if I get off, okay? Just point your finger at me, because I might get off a little bit this morning. We're going to leave the judgment to God. I said, leave the judgment to God. Demonstrate God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace on people. Amen. You'll find out life is a lot happier when you don't go around judging everybody. Because when you judge people, you're putting yourself on a higher pedestal. Do you know judging people is one of the biggest signs of hypocrisy that you'll ever see? The way I judge, I'm going to be judged. If I want to be judged mercifully, how many knows I better judge mercifully? If I want to be judged with grace, how many knows I better judge with grace? Amen. You know what I'm talking about. The reason some of the things that are happening in our lives are the result of us judging one another. Now, how many knows the Bible says, give the devil no place? Give the devil. Can you give the devil place? Can you give the devil a foothold? Can you open the door, even just a crack, and to Satan? Of course we can. It means we give him an entrance. And there's so many times that we as believers give him an open door. Maybe it's just a little crack, but how many knows he don't need a full door? He can just get his foot inside the door, and he's got one of those. Where's my police officer at this morning? He's got one of those door rammers, and he can just come in and bust open your door. You know, you give him access. We give him access to our family. We give him access to our careers. We give him access, you know, to our finances. We give him access to parts of our life that he has no business having access to. And when he gets access, listen, he steals and he kills and he destroys. That's why the Bible says, give him no place. Don't give him a foothold. Give him no place. But it does say, resist him and he will flee from you. Yes, amen. One of the ways you can resist him is to resist judging. Don't raise your hand. You ever had a problem with judging? Don't raise your hand. You ever had a problem with judging somebody? Okay. Let's go to Matthew 7. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 this time. Matthew 7 again, verses 1 through 3. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way, are y'all getting anything out of this yet?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The same way you judge others, you will be judged. If I judge you with mercy, guess how I'm going to be judged? Huh? If I judge you with condemnation and guilt, guess how I'm going to be judged? I don't know about you, my brother, but I don't want to be judged by guilt and condemnation and the pointing of the finger. If you're going to judge me, for heaven's sake, judge me with grace and mercy and love. It'll go a long way, won't it? Where am I at? The measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, here's verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? What do we title this? Sawdust and logs? Why do you look at your brother? He's got a little old bitty speck in his eye, but you pay no attention to the 2x4 or the 4x4 or the beam in your own eye. What a graphic illustration of, I mean, it's just such a picture that he draws out for us there. You know, and somebody says, oh, I'm not, here's one of the favorite things they say. I'm not judging, I'm just saying. You've heard that, haven't you? Oh, I'm not judging, I'm just observing. Haven't we all said that? I'm not judging, I'm just saying. And sometimes that gets us in trouble. Here's another thing that judging does. It comes disguised many times as being super spiritual. You know how that is? Sister, I need to tell you today, Lord, that the Lord showed me that you are having a problem with alcohol or drugs or pornography, and he's showing me all this stuff, and you need to repent of that, and if you don't, you know, and there is a such thing as a word of wisdom, and there's such thing as a word of knowledge, and there's such thing as the word of prophecy. But listen, when you start saying, using God to judge people, like, sister, God tells me you should have never dyed your hair red. You know what? God doesn't care if your hair is red or green or purple.
That's right.
Huh? I'm so spiritual, Brother Alex, that I have to tell you that the Lord says, and now I'm not judging, this is the Lord. The Lord says, you should not shave your head because you look better with hair. There's been a lot of people under the guise of the gifts or a word from the Lord to judge people. Now listen, if it doesn't build up, exhort, and glorify God, it's not from God.
Amen.
Woo! Good preaching, Pastor. I think I'll clap on that one. Because you are judging somebody with a speck in their eye, and you've got this 4x4 in your own eye.
Yep. Come on.
Sounds like a scene out of the Three Stooges, don't it? Your favorite show, yeah. It sounds like yeah. You know, we act like we're speck-free, right? I'm going to tell you something. Nobody is speck-free. You know how I know that? Because everybody in here is living in the flesh, and everybody in here is breathing today. We are not speck free. Amen? You got something in your eye. Let me help you. Well, you got something in your eye too. Don't be telling me that. We've all got something in our eye besides our eyeball, right? We've got something in our eye. Stop acting like we're speck free by judging other people that you're trying to control. Is this okay today?
Yes.
I know this is very slow. I know this is teaching mode, and you like a little faster. You like a little more spirit, but hang on. We'll get to that next Sunday, okay? It's like some people feel like they've been sent on a mission to get everyone free from specks. In fact, Rolf, I have a speck-free ministry. I have a speck-free ministry. God has called me to remove specks from people's eyes. In fact, my name is Inspector Speck. And I feel like I need to examine your eyes and help you get over this thing because I'm the official Speck Inspector. Whew, that's hard to say. I said it without messing up. I'm the official Speck Inspector. Well, what about the 4x4 in my eye? Amen? What about that 4x4 and 4 in my eye? Oh, I'm fine. Don't judge me. Judging, here we go. Judging involves hypocrisy, blindness, and deception. So let me say it like this. In order to judge, you have to be a hypocrite. Are you hearing me? Because judging always puts you on a higher level, and according to God, nobody's on higher levels. I may be the pastor of Solid Rock, but that doesn't put me on a higher level than the person that cleans the toilets at Solid Rock. Amen? We're all on the same level. Now, some may have a little more spiritual maturity. Some may have a little more spiritual knowledge. But that doesn't mean you're better than somebody else. Honesty will eliminate all judging. If you're aware that there's a 4x4 in your life, you're not going to be coming down on somebody else that has a piece of sawdust in theirs. Amen. I'm not even halfway done yet, so don't start getting antsy on me. You know, part of judgment is fault finding. And Solid Rock, we need to, I'm not saying anybody here does this, but I know we're all human and we all have plenty of opportunity to find fault with people. And because somebody doesn't do something the way we think they should, we immediately judge them or find fault with them or push them away. We'll never be a body that experiences the love of God and the manifestation of the glory of God if we're not walking in love and forgiveness and mercy towards one another. We got to be graceful with one another. Amen. Aren't you glad God was graceful with you? Did you ever miss it? Did you ever sin? Did you ever disobey God? Aren't you glad God was merciful with you? Then we should be merciful, showing grace and love to other people as well. Okay, so, we come up to somebody and say, well, I'm really detecting that there's some problems. You're having some problems with these things. My moat detector is going off. And I'm picking up, you better be careful, folks, because that's a way to, that's a real easy way to say I'm, you'll never think of the word I'm thinking of. Okay. Turn that inspector machine on yourself. And just check over. Oh, check yourself, amen. Check yourself, and none of us have been called to be the Holy Ghost police. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
God's never called us to become Holy Ghost police. He's never called us to detect faults and to judge. You know, if I wanted to find fault and just be mean, I could do that. Amen. We got 3 musicians missing today. They might be deer hunting. I don't know. 2 of them are? Well, those 2 are going to get in trouble when they get home. See what I mean? What do you mean you're on the team? What do you mean missing on the team? What do you mean going deer hunting? We got a responsibility here. But you know what? I'm not a judge. They know they're supposed to be faithful, and I'm not putting them down if they went deer hunting, if they're sick or whatever. But I tell you one thing. I sure missed them this morning, didn't you? I missed that bass guitar this morning. I missed the organ player this morning. I bet you Dylan's not deer hunting. No. Verse 5, chapter 7, verse 5. Have we got that, Blake? Look what Jesus calls him. You hypocrite. Take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to help somebody else remove the speck from their eyes. You will see clearly. To help somebody else. It doesn't say judge them. It doesn't say pronounce judgment upon them. It doesn't say accuse them. It says you will help them to help. You get that? Okay. In other words, I can help you with the right heart and the right attitude. That's what I'm doing here this morning. I'm trying to help you. I want you to get beyond fault finding and talking about other ministries and talking about other churches and talking about, you know, I know the world we live in is a mess, but how many knows this? God's still in control. God's got this, amen?
Amen.
We're not going to hell in a handbasket. I believe America's got another chance. I believe we're going to see a great revival sweep through our country. And it's okay with me if it starts right here in Farmington, Missouri. Amen. Luke 6:37, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. It's pretty plain, isn't it? You will not, you will not, you will not. Forgive and you will be forgiving. Pretty plain, isn't it? In other words, whatever you do to them, God's going to do to you. Think about that. Whatever you do to them, God's going to do to you. Is that pretty plain? Let me see the hands of those that's getting something out of this morning. Okay, not everybody raise their hand. Let me see those that aren't getting anything out of this. I'm not judging. Who said that? Lori? Woo! I love you, Sister Slope. Well, I'm just telling you, Brother Rhodes, they're wrong. They're so wrong that somebody needs to straighten them out. Hold on, Sparky. Let me tell you something. It could be that you've been wrong a time or two also. Amen? We've all been wrong. We've all been wrong. Okay. Amen. We've all missed God. Well, that Sister Slope, she's just missing God every day. Well, so what? You probably miss God once in a while too. You understand where I'm going with this? We need to stop this mouthiness towards one another. Amen. How can we dwell in love and harmony and unity? Now, again, I'm not talking about blatant sin. I'm talking about just the things that make you find fault with people. I'll tell you what to do with sin. Stop it. Stop sinning. That's what the Bible says. And I'm not judging you. I'm just saying stop. Okay. That went over good, didn't it? What a relief it was. What freedom we found when I realized that I don't have to make a decision about you sheep. I am enjoying ministry more now, Dwayne, than I ever have before. I used to be quite the controller as a pastor. I used to be quite very frank with my words, and my wife said, honey, you need to soften your words a little bit. I've tried to soften them, and I still mess up once in a while. Sometimes I'll still say something. I may say something in a joking way, but how many knows the person that's listening is not taking it in a joking way? Now I got to go back and undo all of that. It's not easy to do. Do you know how hard I was judged when I married Darlene? Do you know there was a prophet that came to the front door of my house on the day that I was driving to Rolla, getting ready to drive to Rolla to get married in 1984, and they said, don't you dare marry that lady from Salem, Missouri. She's not the right one. You should never get married again. You should stay single the rest of your life. And, it didn't even make sense. Thank God that so-called prophet's not here anymore. But there was a lot of people that said things. Oh, Brother Rhodes shouldn't be the pastor anymore. His ex-wife should be the pastor. I heard that. Oh, yeah, you know I did. They were passing out audio tapes of her preaching. And thank God she's back with the Lord and she's doing okay now. She's a great mama to my girls. But I'm just saying, you know what? People come up with all kinds of weird stuff. Who told you to control my life? Who told you to tell me how to live my life, right? Amen. Okay. I have to flip through these pages because I got a lot to go here. A judge in a courtroom, and thank God we're not judges. I've talked to some judges. I have a great relationship with some judges in St. Francis County. And I told them I wouldn't want their job. I went to their offices and I've prayed with them. But you know what a judge in the legal sense does? They have to determine, if it's not a trial by jury, they have to determine, is that person guilty or not guilty? Not only that, they have to determine what is going to be the sentence that I'm going to put on them. Aren't you glad we're not judges? Amen. Amen. It's not my place. Amen. This is better than ice cream. Amen. I'm giving you something to chew on this morning. He who tooteth not his own horn, the same shall not be tooted. That's Rhodes 3 and 7. He who tooteth not his own horn, the same shall not be tooted. When you're judging, you're basically tooting your own horn. Come on. Give me a good amen. All right. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Am I boring anybody? James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I'm reading from the NIV. You can follow on the screen or follow in your King James, New King James, Living, or whatever you got there. James 2, verse 1. My brothers and sisters, believers must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand back over there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become what? Judges with evil thoughts. You have become a judge with evil thoughts. I hope to God that we have never showed favoritism to people that may give a little more than others that don't have to give. I pray to God. I had a preacher tell me one time, and he was serious, because he did the same thing. He would say, now when you have a person that comes in and they're big tithers, he said, pay special attention to them and wine them and dine them and let them know you know. And I'm thinking, I almost called him by name. I can't do that. Remember the little widow that just had how many? 2 mites, was it, Luke? 2 mites? She gave all that she had. I'm glad that you give, and I'm glad you support our church. I'm thankful for that. But listen, James says we're hypocrites when we show favoritism to somebody in the church because they have on a gold ring. I quit wearing my gold ring, see? You think they got money. And so we give them the best seat in the house. Somebody else comes in and they're dressed in rags, and you tell them to sit in the back because they don't smell as good as the one with the gold ring on. You know why you do that? Because you think the one with the ring on will do something more for you than the person with the rags on. Come on, I'm telling you the truth this morning. I'm preaching it like I'm not sugarcoating it. We favor because we think they will do something for us. We're not going to do it. You're right. We're not going to do it. I love you. I appreciate you. I love your support and appreciate your support and all that you do. But you know what? A tenth of $100 is the same as the tenth of $1,000 to the person that's given it, right? So if you make $100 a week and you tithe $10, and you make $1,000 a week and you tithe $100, you know what? That doesn't make you any better. It doesn't make you a bigger giver. Hello? All right. I love you. I love you. I love you. You think they'll do something for you? Who said that certain people are more important than other people? Sometimes we categorize people, don't we? Yeah, he's a little more important. He's got some gifts and talents. I never asked you to sit on the front row, did I? You came up on your own, I think. Well, maybe I did. Certainly wasn't because of your giving. No, no, just teasing. Woo! No, I'm just teasing. Great supporters. But, you know, you're judging. You're judging. You're judging. Amen. And sometimes we categorize people. Oh, they're more important than these people are. They may have gifts that they're using. They may be more involved in church or ministry, but that doesn't make them any more important or any more special. I love Josh Durkee. He's got great talent and great, and he gets to come here once a month to be with us, and I'm so blessed and honored that he comes to be with us. But you know what? If you can't pick a guitar and all you can do is pick your teeth, you're just as important, right? Or your nose, right? Do you ever look at these preachers on television? I'm gonna try not to judge here. I'm not calling any names, but have you ever seen preachers on television that seem to be so abundantly blessed, and it seems like they can do no wrong, and they have airplanes, they have houses everywhere, they have everything, and they have a huge following. And we think, boy, they are really important. Now, our pastor, he's still trying to pay off the little church at Solid Rock in Farmington, Missouri. He's not as important as this other guy who's got all this stuff. I'm going to tell you something. We need to stop looking at somebody and saying they're more important than this person because they have more than this person does. Amen? Amen. Come on, church. I don't think I have to define what I just said. I don't think I have to explore any more of that. But there are people that, you know, that we see on television, we think, well, they're all, they got a huge ministry. They're much more important than Pastor so-and-so at Solid Rock. That's not true. In the eyes of God. All right. Remember, listen to this. Jesus, don't you know who that is washing your feet? If you had any discernment, imagine saying that to Jesus. If you had any idea who this was washing your feet. If you were really a prophet, you'd know what a low life this woman is. Do you know that the people that said that to him? Jesus said, when I came in here, you didn't even offer to wash my feet. You didn't even recognize me as a prophet. You didn't even recognize the calling of God on my life. But you know what this woman's done? She's washed my feet with her tears and she's dried my feet with her hair. You see, this man thought he was so far superior to this woman that was washing the feet of Jesus. Amen? Oh, here you're going to like this one here. I think I have it right here. He considered himself superior to her. Why? Because I've never done the things that she's done. I've never lived the life that she did. I have a news flash for you this morning. You already have. You already have, because we all came from the same world of sin. Amen? Jesus, I mean, it was Jesus fellowshipped with sinners. How many of you give me 15 more minutes? I'll rip through this real quick. Jesus fellowshipped with sinners. If Jesus was on the earth today, you think maybe he might go down to a Triple Creek Bar and and drink a soda with the sinners? I believe he would. He's not going to partake of what they're doing, but he would fellowship with them and tell them about his calling, right? We don't have to participate in the sin that everybody else does. Sit with them around the dinner table. Isn't it interesting that the Son of God, the spotless, sinless, mighty Son of God, never sinned, the holiest person that ever walked the earth, could sit around the dinner table with people and not make them feel like a heel. Make them feel like they're nothing and he's more important. He said, I come to serve, not to be served. Will you stay with me a little bit longer? Here we go, James chapter 2. Jesus didn't sit there and glare at them and judge them. Heavens, no. James chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I'm going to read from the Amplified this time. Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen those who are poor in his eyes of the world to be rich in faith and in their position as believers and to inherit the kingdom of God, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have insulted and humiliated and dishonored and shown contempt for the poor. Is it not the rich who domineer over you? Is it not those who drag you into the law courts? Is it not they who slander and blaspheme the precious name by which you distinguished and called yourself by the name of Christ? If you indeed really fulfill the royal law, which is the law of love, he said, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if you show, what's that word? Servile? Regard, prejudice, favoritism for people? You commit sin and are rebuked and convicted by the law as violators and offenders. For whosoever keepeth the law as a whole, but stumbles and offends in one single instance, has become guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery, but you do kill, and you've been guilty of transgressing the law. Amen? Let me just explain that real quick. You cannot brag that you did not lie about that person when you killed somebody this morning. Let me explain. You cannot say, well, I didn't lie. I didn't lie about that person. I might have killed somebody, but I'm not a lousy liar. You know what? You're all messed up. And that's the way we do it sometimes. We get it so far out. As a murderer, you think you're better than an adulterer. Huh? You're just a liar. Does that make you better than the one that commits adultery? I would never. That's what that guy said about Jesus when that lady was washing his feet. 1 John 3:15. Anyone who hates, esteems, loveless his Christian brother is really a murderer at heart. You know that no one wanting to murder has eternal life within him. Do you know how many people we have murdered with that little 2-inch tongue in our mouth? Do you realize how many assassinations have taken place from Christians to other Christians because of that little tongue? If you remember the church in Corinth, Paul had a rebuke, especially in chapter 11. He said, now I hear that there's a lot of divisions among you. There's a lot of divisions among you. Remember the story? It's the story of the Lord's Supper. I hear that you've got divisions and there's strife among you and you're divided and you're not honoring, basically what he says, you're not honoring the body of Christ. That's what it means when he says you don't honor the body of Christ. You think you're more superior than they are. And listen to what this says, verse 30. For this cause, they are having physical problems, weak and dying prematurely. For this cause. Let me just read it to you. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, if you're not honoring the body of Christ, can I tell you something? This is part of the body of Christ right here this morning. You are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. If I'm not honoring the body of Christ when I take communion, I'm taking it unworthily, and I will die early, have sickness, and what did it say? All kinds of stuff going on just because physical problems, weak, and dying prematurely. You're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. And this is why many of you are weak and sick and have even died. It's in the Bible. Because we're not honoring one another. It's good preaching, Pastor Rhodes. Amen. Josh, why don't you just work your way up here, okay? I'm sure God's given you the perfect song for this Judge Not message. Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. We got a long passage here to read. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told him this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like Brother Roth and Brother Dwayne and all these other... I missed that. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I got. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves shall be humbled, and those who humble themselves shall be exalted. Would you stand with me this morning? You know what this Pharisee was saying? God, you're blessed to have me on your side. Oh, God, you ought to be rejoicing because I'm on your side. Look at me, man. Look what I can offer to the church. Look what I can offer to the kingdom. Why, I'm so gifted and talented in so many areas, and I'm so righteous, and everybody else in that church is despised. They're so full of faults. They're full of weaknesses. I think this is pretty plain and simple today, don't you? But I believe it's also very strong. We need to stop looking at each other, looking down on each other. We can say really hurtful things to people. And you know what? I will stand here as your pastor and admit I have done that, and I am so sorry. Sometimes I tease people, and it's taken the wrong way, even in teasing. And my wife said, Daryl, stop teasing people like that. I tease Alex a lot, and I'm surprised he still comes to church here. I tease him a lot, you know. I told him a couple days ago, I said, you got two deers. Where's the tithe off of that? Now, I would not say that as a pastor. But you know what? Somebody could take that the wrong way and get hurt. We've got to watch, even in joking, what we say to one another, because it hurts. Words sting and words hurt. And it may not even be in the judging sense. It may just be in, you know, a critical sense. I'd never wear that dress. My grandma wore that dress. I'd give that thing to the Goodwill. That's not very becoming to a believer, is it? Huh? Amen? Be careful. What's that song we used to sing? Be careful, little tongue, what you say, or mouth. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. I ask your forgiveness for being misunderstood or for saying things that I shouldn't have ever said. If I have judged you in any way that has hurt your feelings or have made you feel bad, please, please, please forgive me. I love every one of you. I love this church. I love you. I've got the best church in the world. Thank you. But you know what? We've been in a lot of churches. Luke, you've been to some of those churches in Africa and some of those churches in Georgia, and there's a lot of good churches around the world. But you know what? I still can't wait to get back home to Solid Rock, to my favorite church, my favorite people, the best place in the whole wide world. Thank you, thank you, thank you for loving Darlene and I. We're humans just like you are. We're going to miss it just like you are. And just as you don't want my judgmentalism, I don't need your judgmentalism, right? If you see me going down the road at 80 miles an hour, you don't need to judge me. Just say, Lord, protect him. Just protect him, Lord. Right? Gosh, I love you all so much. I could just cry right now because I love you so much. You all are so sweet and so precious. And if I've ever hurt you, I'm sorry if I hurt you with a loose tongue. My wife won't even let me correct Oliver. I have to be really sweet to Oliver or I get in trouble. So forgive me for treating my dog better than some people. Father, thank you for this word today. God, may we examine ourselves. Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let a person examine themselves. I'm not judging. If somebody wants to do that, if somebody wants to live that lifestyle, I'm not going to judge them. I may not approve. I may not agree, but I will not judge them because I am no better than anybody else on this planet. God, may we love one another with the love of God. You said in Romans that you have poured your love into us by the Holy Spirit. May we love one another. May we see one another as valuable and precious and the way that you see them. God, forgive us for judging somebody and saying, well, you're not a Christian, because your word says, John 3:16, whosoever believeth on the Lord shall be saved, shall have everlasting life. God, help us to stop judging people because we think they're not saved or because they do something that we wouldn't do. Father, protect this church from judgmentalism. God, when we say this is a no-judgment zone, help us not to just be here in the four walls of this church, but may we be surrounded with your presence that will not allow us to be judgmental, critical, hateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, just for just one moment, I'm only going to keep you about another minute or two. Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. And the reason I'm asking you to do this morning, because somebody may be standing next to you that's going to raise their hand, and they might be embarrassed if they knew you were watching. But if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I really needed to, and I listen, I'm not doing this because I need a compliment. I'm not doing this because I need approval. I want you to be able to admit, Lord, I needed this today. Let me see your hand real quickly. Just keep, thank you. I needed this today. If you're here this morning and you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never confessed Him as the Lord of your life, I'd love for you to invite Jesus into your life today and let Him make a difference. He can help us control our tongues. He can help us live a life pleasing unto Him. And today, if Jesus is not your Lord, if you can admit that I've never been a Christian, or I have been a Christian, but I'm not right with God today, I've strayed from Him, I might be a part of the family, but I'm out of fellowship with Him. If that's you this morning, hold your hand up real high. I want to pray with you. I promise I won't embarrass anybody. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I used to be with the Lord. I've strayed away. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Anybody else? While we wait just a moment. Anybody else? I'm not where I should be with the Lord. I've given into my stinking flesh. I've allowed the enemy to deceive me. I've missed God. I just need to get it right today. Anybody else? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this man and this woman that raised their hand this morning. God, by the raising of their hand, I feel like you're already dealing with their hearts. I feel, Lord, that if you weren't dealing with them, they would have never raised their hands. So I'm asking you, Lord God, to draw them back into fellowship with you. God, would you just tie a rope around them and pull them right up to you as close as they can get, and just remind them that they're your son, they're your daughter. Father, forgive us of our sins, our transgressions. Help us to walk in the Word, according to the Word. Help us to be doers of your Word and not hearers only. Lord, we thank you for forgiving us. We declare with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. As I pray with you this morning, just repeat this. You can repeat it right under your breath. I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I am asking for your forgiveness today, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. I'm in right standing with you. I declare I am the righteousness of God in Christ because of the blood of Jesus. I will live for you to the best of my ability. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.